Well, good morning. Another praise, or maybe just something I want to point out, is that when Phyllis was up front here, I was able to read everything she had on that folder because I'm sitting up front. Just thought I'd point that out. How many of you were able to read what was on the sheet? Yeah. Okay. Well, we're moving up in the world, as you can see. No chair, no recliner this week. I had to give up the recliner because the elders were telling me I was laying down on the job. George did tell me that. He did make that accusation. Okay. Yes. If you want to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, or look up on the screen of the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. But every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Some branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love have no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for this illustration of our relationship with you and how deep and intimate and vital it is. Now, Lord, we just ask that you'd send your Holy Spirit to open up more than just our minds, more than just our hearts, but all that we are, to hear and receive and understand and live out your word, your truth in our lives. Lord, help us to bear much fruit. Give us the understanding to do so. Lord, touch me right now, so that the words I speak will be words which bring glory to you in your name, and which will indeed yield much fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a message that I really, really, really wanted to have some props for. I wanted to have the vine, and I wanted to have the pruning shears, and I wanted to do all this stuff, but I just got back last night at 7 o'clock, and I hadn't prepared any of this ahead of time because the last couple of weeks I've been distracted. But if you would, please imagine with me. Think about what a vine really is, what it looks like. We're not just talking about the branches, what we usually refer to as the vine, that stuff that springs up. But the vine is the root. It's that base that everything else comes off of. That's the vine. It's that part right there at the root, the centermost point, which everything else takes its sustenance from. You can take a grapevine and cut off all the branches, and as long as you leave that vine with a good root system, plant it, all the branches grow, and they produce much fruit. What does this have to do with us? Well, Jesus has presented us an allegory of our relationship with Him and the Father. The Father is presented as the gardener, the one who comes through the garden, pruning the vine, keeping it healthy, making sure that it bears not just fruit, but that it bears much fruit, that it bears the best fruit that it possibly can. That's what the gardener does. It's not enough that some fruit is produced, but that the maximum amount of fruit is produced, and the best fruit. Who here likes lousy fruit? None of us. Neither does God. Wow, what a surprise! In this allegory, Jesus is the vine. And He tells us that. And He also tells us that we are the branches. The part that He doesn't tell us that I want to point out here is I'm going to give place to the Holy Spirit as, if you would, the sap that comes from the vine, that which gives sustenance. For when we remain in the Lord, it's the Lord that remains in us. And how does He live within us? Through the Holy Spirit. Elsewhere, the Holy Spirit is spoken of as water and oil. Liquid is very much an acceptable representation of the Holy Spirit. So I'd like you to think of the Holy Spirit as the sap in this instance. The Father is the gardener, and Jesus is the vine. There we have the Trinity. And then our relationship to all three. And to be fruitful, it requires all three. First and foremost, we have to be in the vine. Now, Paul later talks about how we got into that vine. Originally here, we're talking about the apostles who grew, if you would, from the vine, part of the nation of Israel. How many of you here are Jewish? Okay. Have I known Jewish heritage? Well, you know, I really can't say that I do. I don't know. There might be some back there somewhere, but I know if we go back far enough, I can get to Moses. Or not Moses, I'm sorry. Guy in the ark. Noah, that's the guy. I'm not on drugs either. I don't know what the deal is. Maybe I need some. Carefully. So there we have. When we have this allegory, it's important that we look at what the nature is of these things. What is the nature of the branch to the vine? Well, Jesus lays it out for us. He says, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. If you cut off a branch, how much fruit can you expect to get from it? Not much. What happens to the fruit that you have on it? It withers. The branch needs the connection with the vine. Now, what kind of a connection is it? It's a complete connection. It's vital. Paul, in the letter to the Romans, starts talking about olives and how branches are ingrafted to the olive tree. How many of you have ever seen an apple tree that had pears on it? How many of you have ever seen it? I've seen that. You've seen apple trees with multiple different types of apples on them. It's quite common for apple growers to have to engraft good apples branches onto a tree that wouldn't normally produce good fruit. Now, in this instance, it's the other way around. Okay, we don't improve God by being grafted into Him, but He improves us by the quality of the root. And without that root, without that connection, we can produce no fruit. But when you've seen a graft, this was one of the things that I really wanted to have an illustration. But quite often, there's different types of ways to cut a graft. One is where you just cut it at an angle, and then you cut both pieces at the same angle. Here's the tree or the vine, and then you take the branch, and then you cut them both at like a 45, and then graft them together like that. Another kind is they cut a notch, put them in, and they do that to get as much surface area as possible, as much contact area as possible with the branch in between the layers of bark, because it's the bark on the outside in which the sap flows. And if that sap doesn't get to flow from the vine into the branch, if you don't find some way to have that connection, it doesn't become strong. It doesn't grow and heal. But if you have it there and that sap was able to get from one to the other, what happens is amazing. Is they begin to grow together and it becomes strong and it eventually becomes one piece. Now at first, in order for it needs to be taped up or wrapped with wire or rubber bands, they've done all sorts of things. Anything they can to hold them together. But once it's been held long enough, that has to be cut. Even what's been held holding it together needs to be cut so that it can grow. And it will grow and it will come to a point where if you don't know what to look for, you won't even be able to tell where that graft was made. We're like that with Jesus. When we first come to Christ, we're like a new graft. We're put in there and there's that flow coming in. Well, you know what has to be done to that branch when it's grafted in? There's all the extra stuff, all the extra junk needs to get cut off. Pum, pum, pum. And the gardener has to do that with care. If he cuts off too much, hurt the branch and it won't make it. If he doesn't cut off enough, there'll be too much that it won't be able to survive either. So it's the skill of the gardener. And God does that to our lives when we're connected with Him. When we are connected to the vine, He comes in. And even after we've been connected for time, He prunes the vine. Why? So that it bears more fruit, better fruit. What do you call those little things that come off a branch or a tree? How many here have done gardening or pruning? What do you call those? Suckers. Why? They suck the life out of it. They don't do any good. They're not going to produce any fruit. All it does, it's parts that just reduce the eventual bounty. And the gardener comes through and cuts those off. Cuts off all those suckers. Get that sucker. That's where that comes from. I've been hearing about all sorts of different colloquialisms that we've added to our language this week. Learned about flash in the pan and learned about lock, stock, and barrel. You know, you go through Williamsburg and these things, and they tell you where these things come from. Flash in the pan, well, that's, you know, when you hit a match lock or a flint lock and it flashes, but it doesn't, the gun doesn't go off. That's a flash in the pan. Lock, stock, and barrel, well, that's a gun. The lock was the trigger. Stock, part here, and the barrel. Those are the three parts of the gun. That's all they considered it. That's the whole thing. Here, get that sucker. That's where it comes from. I'm serious. It's cutting off those suckers. Cut them off. And why? So that we grow better. So that the fruit grows better. And God, the gardener, comes into our lives and He gets those suckers. Finds those areas in our lives that aren't doing us any good. In fact, all they're doing is sucking away from the fruit that we could produce. But God comes and He cuts those off, prunes them. You know what happens when you cut a spot on a prune spot? A little sap runs out, you know, it's kind of like bleeding off. But it heals up. And that the Holy Spirit will do the same for us. The Holy Spirit will come and bring healing. And we'll produce more fruit. We will bear fruit. The more of the Holy Spirit which is within us, the more that we have the Holy Spirit within us, and the more it's directed towards that aspect which bears fruit. What aspect is it in our lives which bears fruit? We're told here. Anybody? Love one another. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love. He's told us this. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's all about bearing the fruit. Remaining in God is love. Again, it's not about the ushy-gushy feeling. It's not about pandering to people's desires. It's about selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. That's supposed to be our action towards one another. Are we selfless? Are we loyal? Are we acting benevolent? That is, are we doing what is best for them? The most benevolent, most loving action that we can ever do for anybody is to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. End of discussion. There is nothing more loving you can do. However, not everybody is ready to hear the gospel the first time you meet them. So sometimes you need to do something for them. For example, if you meet somebody and you find that they are beating up and bleeding along the side of the road, you could say, you know, Jesus loves you. And they'd say, I don't care. I'm bleeding to death here. Help me. Or you could be God's love to them and go and bring them aid. Call for help. That is love. And they'll say, why did you do that? Because that's what I was told to do. Well, who told you to do that? Well, Jesus did. See, I'm a Christian. Not everybody's bleeding up in such a manner that you can see it readily. Sometimes the bleeding's on the inside. Sometimes it's an emotional or spiritual bleeding or issue that needs to be dealt with. And we need to come alongside and show them love. There's an issue that's out right now, which is really getting a lot of press, really causing a lot of trouble, is the Defense of Marriage Act. Minnesota has this out, and the House has passed it. The Senate, it hasn't been allowed to, because of the way committees work and everything. It's been held off the Senate floor, so the whole Senate couldn't vote on it. If it came to the Senate, the whole Senate, it would probably pass. But because of political wrangling, it's been kept off the floor. Now, I'm not a real political animal. I do, yes indeed, I do occasionally watch a few minutes of C-SPAN or something. But that's not who I am or what I'm about. And I'm not, and I don't think that the pulpit is the proper place for me to be talking about politics. But I'm not talking about politics here. We as Christians, if we're to act in a loving nature towards the rest of the world, in particular towards the rest of the people in Minnesota, we need to stand up for those things which, where people are bleeding. We need to try to bring them comfort and healing. Now, if you find somebody who's bleeding, you say, but it's a slow bleed. You know, here, let me open that vein up a little bit more for you so you won't have to suffer so long. Help speed up the bleeding for you. That's what we're doing if we say, you know what, let whoever marry whoever, it doesn't matter. You want to marry a cat, go ahead. It's not a loving action. A loving action is to say that God ordained marriage to be one man, one woman. That's the way God set it up. He's the one who married the first couple, Adam and Eve. Adam, meet your wife. What are you going to call her? I'm going to call her Eve. Okay. But it's an institution which is as old as mankind. And it was ordained of God to be that way. It's not meant to be the other ways. So what can we do in a loving way? Follow your senator. Go ahead. It's coming up for debate here tomorrow, so I suggest you do it tomorrow. But the reason why I'm saying this is that we also need to do it in such a way that we're not, that people don't think that we're acting in a hateful manner. I do not hate gay people. The scripture passage here does not tell me to hate them. It tells me to love them. But it's not loving for me to say the type of relationship that you're having is good and healthy, because it's not. It's wrong. And it is harmful to all the parties involved. Whether they like it or not. How many people here have ever done something that was harmful for them, harmful, but at the time they thought it was something that they wanted to do? We all have. It's just, and when we have somebody else come alongside and say, you know, that harmful act you did, that's a good thing. You do that again. Well, eventually, if I keep doing stuff that's going to hurt me, eventually it's going to hurt me to death. And to tell them the truth is the most loving thing we can do, as long as we do it in a loving manner. Please, please, hear me say that. We don't want to... Somebody's bleeding again. We're going back to that one. Oh, you're bleeding. Take a torch. Cauterize that wound. No anesthesia. Not going to tell them what I'm doing or why I'm doing it. I'm just going to take this big old firebrand. I'm going to lay it against that bleeding wound and I'm going to cauterize it. Because I'm going to stop the bleeding. That's not... One, it probably wasn't necessary. Two, it causes them much more pain than they need. And three, it's just hurtful. And we're not supposed to be like that. We're supposed to be loving. So how do I tell somebody that they're wrong? I say they're wrong. But I feel it's this and this, and I do so in a calm, quiet manner. I don't call them names. I look them in the eye at the same time. I let them know that I also do love them. That's the only thing you can do. Didn't say it was easy. That's the way we're supposed to do it. And when we do that type of thing, we will bear fruit. The command is to love one another. And as we do that, through the empowering of the Holy Spirit, leading of the Holy Spirit, He'll produce fruit in our lives. And that fruit will be excellent fruit. It will be bountiful fruit. We have to recognize that our dependence upon Jesus and the Holy Spirit, upon the Father, for us to love and bear fruit is as great as that of the branch and the vine. Anybody here ever eat wild grapes? Any good? Not really. Ever been? Anybody here like grapes? Eat a lot of them? Why? Because they're big and they're succulent. They're tasty. That's because the farmer has pruned and take the grapes and cared for that vine and the branches to the point where it now produces the best fruit. So we need to be connected to the vine. We need to be receiving that from God, that direction through the Holy Spirit. And we need the Father going through pruning so that we can bear much fruit. We need to recognize that first and foremost, that apart from Him, we can do absolutely nothing. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You that we have become one with You, just as the vine is one with the branch. But Lord, it's not the vine which is dependent upon the branch, but it is indeed the branch which must be fully and wholly and completely dependent upon that vine, upon that root, upon that source of strength and nourishment. Lord, help us to live that way. Help us to love our friends, our neighbors, and yes, Lord, even our enemies. But first and foremost, Lord, help us to love one another here. Help us to live that and practice that so it becomes a natural way of life, so that when we run into those others, we just treat them the same. We treat them with love. In Jesus' name.